Now, more of Patricia Raskin, Positive Living, on News Talk 630, WPRO, and 99.7 FM. To speak with Patricia and her guest, call 438-WPRO or toll free at 1-800-321-WPRO. Now, here's Patricia Raskin.
Well, welcome back, everyone. Welcome to the second half hour of the second hour of Patricia Raskin Positive Living, right here on News Talk 630 WPRO. And with me is my co-host, Carrie Beers. Hi, Carrie.
Hello.
I'm really excited about my next guest, and he will be on with us in a minute. Today we are talking about the Hoffman process and the Hoffman Institute. So let me tell you about that. My guest is Razan Grossi. He's the president and CEO of the Hoffman Institute. Great. And the Hoffman process was founded more than 40 years ago. It brings into awareness the counterproductive beliefs and perceptions and emotional needs that we adopted from our parents very early on. And what the process does is provides us with tools and possibilities to let go of what's not working and then to integrate the dimensions of all of ourselves, our intellectual side, our emotional side, our physical side, and our spiritual side, to help us get a framework so we can be more loving, creative, and balanced in our life. And you can log on to HoffmanInstitute.org. You know, Carrie, it's interesting because a lot of us, you know, many times you'll do something and you'll say, well, you know, I'm doing that and I don't like that I'm doing that. Mm-hmm. And then you'll find, you know, a month later, I just did that again. So why am I doing that? And we have somebody who can explain that. My guest is Raz Ingrazi. Well, welcome, Raz.
Hello, Patricia.
Nice to have you on the program.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful being with you.
All right. So see if you can answer that question. What do we do with those of us, Raz?
All
of
us.
You know, I mean, we make a mistake and we go, I know better. Why am I choosing that person again? Or why am I going into that situation again? It's not good for me.
Well, and why am I talking to my spouse that way? Why am I, you know, mm-hmm. usually the behaviors that bother us the most are the things that hurt people that we love the most.
Yeah.
And, you know, we hear these words coming out of our mouths towards our children that we, you know, hadn't heard in 35 years, and the last time they were coming from our parents, and we hated it. And now we're doing it all over again.
That's why we say I sound like my mother.
Right. So okay. Why do we do that? Well, Bob Hoffman coined a term which sounds oxymoronic. His term is negative love. He calls it the negative love syndrome. And basically what it explains is why we take on negative beliefs, behaviors, attitudes, and moods from our parents, from our mm-hmm. caregivers, when we were very young children. Why do we do that? And simply the reason is that, well, as little children, we were 100% dependent on our parents and on these caregivers, and they weren't perfect. They were human. Some of them, okay, I mean, admittedly, some people had really horrible parents, but most of us didn't. And still, we took on their negativities, their limitations, their prejudices, in an attempt to bond with them because we needed their love. We were, after all, children, and we were 100% dependent on them. And if you ask people, well, what was your life like before you were 6 years old? Almost no one can remember any of it. And yet, if you see a child, they're having a very full life, but it's emotional. And then after about 6, 7, 8 years old, our intellect begins to kick in. Mm. By the time we're 20 or 18, our intellect is running the show completely. And for some reason, that early learning, emotional learning, is forgotten. It's like a curtain comes down and we don't remember it anymore, but it was life-shaping. And so we're still acting that out later, but we're not aware of it.
So, for example, for people who might have been abused in childhood and then they turn around marrying somebody who abuses them, it's because that's the negative love that they were used to. So they're just copying it, even though they're not conscious that they're doing it.
Well, I'll tell you the correlation that's more exacting than the one you just mentioned, although that can happen sometimes, too.
Yeah.
The more exacting in the abuse situation is that all abusers, let's say men who abuse their wives and their children, all of them saw their fathers, virtually all, one-to-one, saw their fathers do that in their mm-hmm. family of origin. That is not to say that everyone who saw that becomes an abuser. No, many people, you know, put a correction in, hold themselves back, don't want to be that way. Many, many men do that. But all of them who are abusers saw it in their childhood. With women, it's not a one-to-one correlation at all, although there is a strong correlation with women whose mothers were enablers. You know, mm-hmm. they enabled bad behavior, explained it away, justified it, rationalized it, and yeah, they tend to be, they learn from their mothers to be that way, and they tend to be that way in their adult lives, and so people get away with stuff on their watch.
Yeah, so Raz, how do we begin to identify that that's the root cause of what we're doing and begin to move forward?
Well,
the change.
Yeah, there are a couple of taboos, Patricia, that we kind of have to get over. And one of them is, you know, this thing about honor your mother and your father. And that's a good thing. We all sort of agree and we all believe in that. But we should not be honoring their bad behavior. Mm-hmm. And so we want to honor the real spiritual person there, the one who tried. But then we have to be honest with ourselves and sort of say, okay, I'm an adult now, and start doing some sorting out what's working and what's not working in my life, and stop pretending that things that don't work are okay.
Yeah.
They're not. So we have to get over that idea of protecting our parents.
All right, Raz, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, there are some myths. There are some things that we're going to talk about. They're a little edgy, so you want to hear these.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, we're going to... Here's a statement that that you've made, Raz, that you said before, and, you know, that's part of this. You say, forgiveness is way overrated, and we'll talk about that after the break. And anger and healing go together. That seems like an oxymoron, and we're going to talk about that. And
all
why
right.
is love negative? And what about, you know, there's a lot of things here that can be a little confusing. So we're going to find out about this. This is an amazing process. It's often starts with an 8-day retreat called the Hoffman Process. And you can learn all about it by going on to HoffmanInstitute.org. HoffmanInstitute.org. And today my guest is Raz Ingrazi, President and CEO of the Hoffman Institute. You can call us with your questions at 438 or your comments if you're a Hoffman Institute graduate. Just give us a call, 438-WPRO or 800-321-WPRO. I'm here with my co-host, Carrie Beers. You're listening to Patricia Raskin, Positive Living, right here on News Talk 630 WPRO, 99.7 FM, and on the web at 630WPRO.com. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. We are back. You are listening to Patricia Raskin, Positive Living, right here on News Talk 630 WPRO, 99.7 FM, and on the web at 630WPRO.com. And you can give us a call at 438WPRO, 800-321-WPRO. And I'm here with my co-host, Carrie Beers. Hi, Carrie.
Hello.
I know you have a great question for Raz, but let's tell people who Raz is. Raz Ingrazi is the executive director he's the president and CEO of the Hoffman Institute. And the Hoffman Process was founded more than 40 years ago, and it brings into the awareness our counterproductive beliefs, perceptions, and emotional needs that were adopted from our parents and others who shaped our early life experiences. And we'll just go from there. Go ahead, Carrie. Welcome back, Raz.
Thank you.
Well, I think it would be important to understand an overview of what the Hoffman Process is. Could you explain it briefly for us?
Well, the Hoffman Process begins with your desire to change something in your life. And so we can't do anything to you or for you, but we have a way for you to do something for yourself, which most people can't imagine having access to. And that is to really change some of the things that aren't working in your life and to find out why they're there and to release your attachment to them, because there are so many things. I mean, let me just do a little experience for those who are listening in. Think for a moment of something in your childhood that your parents, one or the other, did when you were 6, 7, 8 years old, and they did that, and every time it happened, you didn't like it. And probably when you were that age, you said, boy, when I grow up, I'm not going to do that I'm not going to do that to my kids, or I'm not going to be that way. And then look into your adult life today and look in three areas. One, do I do this to myself? Maybe I had a critical parent, now I have an inner voice that's very critical. Or do I do this to others, criticize other people? Or do I have other people in my life who are playing that role and criticizing me and making me feel small all the time? So one of those three flows, you might say, do I do it to myself, do it to others, have others do it to me? And so there's a recognition, and I think if people are honest, it won't be too hard to find something like that. And so here we are. We're adults, free choice. We're away from our families. We knew it was wrong when we were 7 years old and we didn't like it. Why are we still doing it today?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so it starts with the recognition that something's not okay and my intellect is moving too slow to correct it.
So the start is you recognize it, but then you also have to accept that you need to change it.
Right, right. So our byline is when you're serious about change. So when you're serious about change, then we can help you. You have to do some work, but we can really help you. Do you want to ask another question?
No, I was just going to say, here are some reasons why people might want to do the process.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to take a few of these. I feel something's holding me back and I want to take the limits off. I experience too much stress and I'm not having enough fun. I know what I should do, but I often can't generate the will to do it. I often feel angry, resentful, embarrassed, or depressed. I feel intimidated, coerced. I mean, it just goes on and on.
It goes on and on. We got a good list there of why people come into this work. And, you know, it's, to be very honest, I don't view that something's wrong with people. In other words, that they want to do the Hoffman process. What I view is that they want to be better, that they have an idea that things could, if only this was changed, my life could actually be quite a bit better. And so what people invariably want is more freedom, emotional freedom. They want more love. They want more openness and honesty with themselves. They want their inner life and their outer life to have a greater coherence. They want their head and their heart to have a greater coherence. So, and that means, how often have we found ourselves in a situation where intellectually we want something or we know something is right or wrong, but emotionally our heart is telling us to do something different, or, you know, there's this battle, this inner battle between, should I get that new 90,000, I don't know how much these cars cost, but a $90,000 convertible, Mercedes convertible, let's say, or, if I get that, I'll really feel that would make my life different. Then the intellect kicks in. You can't afford that. And then we go back and forth and back and forth. And finally, one side or the other decides. What about those times when the decision is not either or, intellect or emotions, but it's a coherent decision? Yeah, this makes sense, and I love it. So that's what we're talking about, ending those inner battles.
All right. We have a few minutes left. You say forgiveness is way overrated. What do you mean?
Well, what I mean by that is the common understanding in our society of forgive and forget is way overrated. I'd rather if we could forgive and remember. And what I mean by that is that a lot of people have a barrier to forgiving because they think it means they have to forget what happened to them and put themselves in that same situation again. And that's wrong. The reason you want to forgive is to release that burden from yourself. But remember, so you don't put yourself in that same situation. Mm-hmm. Learn something from what happened. So I say forgive and remember. And, you know,
What about anger and healing? How do they go together?
Well, anger, okay, let me put it this way. I'll take a moment here to explain what I mean. If you look at any creature, any living creature, they all have a fight or flight response. So even a bug, you know, will want to run away, and if cornered, will fight. But if you think about little children, we couldn't run away and we couldn't fight. And so what we did is we had to stuff things down inside of us, things that weren't all right with us. And so there's this hidden layer of anger inside of every person over the things that were stuffed down that we felt weren't fair. And just on the other side of that is where the healing power within you lies. There's a vast untapped, I call it your spiritual self, healing power within each person, but there's a layer of anger over it. And so you've got to be willing to go through with that anger in order to tap the deeper, truer essence of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if you are unwilling to see that, it's not, you know, done in the correct way. You don't flip out and go crazy and murderous and all that other crazy stuff that people are afraid of. It can be very focused and directed, and that can be lifted out safely, and then you're in the presence of something deeper and truer.
How do people find out more, Raz, about this process?
Well, they can go on our website. It's a great way to do it. And that is simply HoffmanInstitute.org, www.HoffmanInstitute.org. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of information there. You can call us. The other funny thing is if you start talking to people about it, you know, there's always someone in your circle who knows what's going on and, you know, has heard something about it.
That's right. So you've had how many graduates have you had? And you have this all over the world. So talk about that. Talk about there's somebody who knows something about it. You've had how many thousands of graduates?
We've had about 75,000 people do this over the last 30 years.
And where is it being held now?
Our principal site is out in California in the Napa Valley. We have a 45-acre retreat site. We do it there twice a month, the 8-day retreat. And then six times a year, we do it on the East Coast in Western Massachusetts, plus the work that we do with Harvard, but that's a closed program.
All right, with Harvard University. But then you have them in other parts of the country.
Other parts of the world, right. That's in the United States. And then there are 14 centers in 12 countries around the world, most European countries, Brazil, Argentina, Canada, Australia.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, as we'll have you on again, we have to talk more about this. So people are changing their lives one person at a time through the Hoffman process. And we thank you so much for being on, and we'll do it again. And thanks,
thank
Gary.
You.
Yeah, I thought that was really good.
Yeah, really.
Wonderful being with you.
Thank you so much, Raz Ingrassi. He is the president and CEO of the Hoffman Institute. Please log on to HoffmanInstitute.org. Stay on the line, Raz. We'll be right with you. And folks, Carrie and I are going to come back and just say bye. So really, don't change your dial. You're listening to Patricia Raskin, Positive Living, right here on News Talk 630 WPRO 99.7 FM and on the web at 630WPRO.com. And we're right here waving to you on the web. Okay, we'll be right back. Hi, everyone. You're listening to Patricia Raskin, Positive Living, right here on News Talk 630 WPRO 99.7 FM and on the web at 630WPRO.com. And I'm here with my co-host, Carrie Beers. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, I really liked that, honoring the parent, forgetting the behavior.
Isn't that incredible?
They're two totally different things.
Yeah, HoffmanInstitute.org. Raz Ingrassi is the CEO. It's a fabulous process. All over the world, 75,000 people have been through it. And it's in, I think he said, 14 countries and on the West Coast here and then also on the East Coast six times a year. Nick.